You are listening to John Diard's Life Spa, your premier source for health news and Ayurveda, where modern science meets ancient wisdom.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. John Diard, and welcome back to the Life Spa podcast, where we prove the ancient medical wisdom of Ayurveda with modern science. And today I want to talk about the importance of the purity of the herbs and supplements and skincare products that you actually use. You know, when I first got into Ayurvedic practice in 1986, I would go back and forth to India on a regular basis to study, but also to procure herbs that I would bring back and dispense in my practice. And I would always make sure that they were tested for microbes and tested for heavy metals in India when I bought them. And then I would bring them back and test them here. And I would always have a test in India that said they were clear of heavy metals and clear of any pathogens, and so they were good to ingest. Then I would bring them back to the States and I would send them to a lab and have them tested in a lab. And more often than not, those same herbs were actually contaminated with heavy metals. Very rarely did I see the wrong kind of bugs in them, but definitely heavy metals were a thing. So I would have to throw all those herbs away and not use them. And then 5-6 years later, the Journal of American Medicine put out a report saying that Ayurvedic herbs were contaminated with heavy metals and people were getting sick. And it put sort of a big kibosh on Ayurvedic herbs and the purity of Ayurvedic herbs. And you got to know that the Ayurvedic pharmacy has been around for thousands of years. The formulations that they use are second to none. The All Indian Ayurvedic Congress, which is their kind of American Medical Association, is the largest medical organization in the world, and it has been for thousands of years. So this is not just some home kitchen backroom medicine kind of a thing. It's been an established medicinal practice, and their pharmacopoeia is robust and incredibly brilliant. Matter of fact, so much research is being done on Ayurvedic herbal formulas. I mean, you may have seen on your feed and on the internet, you just see people going crazy over ashwagandha, people now going crazy over shilajit, people going crazy over herbs like bacopa or turmeric. These are all classic Ayurvedic herbs, right? So I want to talk to you about the purity of them. So ever since that experience, I was made sure that I not only did I get the herbs from a reputable source, but I would always have them tested again. Even though we had them tested in India, there was a little rubber stamping going on, and they would come in. And that was mostly sold through those herbs were mostly sold through kind of Indian grocery stores where they would bring it in with the food, and they would just label all this food. And a lot of herbal companies actually bring herbs in as food as opposed to nutritional supplements, which has a lot more hoops to jump through and hurdles to go through to actually let them come in from another country. So to this day, I recommend to my patients, number one, that I would not take herbal supplements that were manufactured in India simply because the rubber stamping that goes on in terms of purity. And when they come here, there's no real way for them. The FDA is not going to come and test them. And a lot of times they come in and you just simply don't know. It's not to say that the herbs that are manufactured in India are all bad, but you just don't know which ones are clean and which ones are not clean. So I always recommend make sure your products are what are called GMP certified. In other words, on the bottle of your product, here's one of our products here, there should be on the label to make sure that they've gone through all these stringent tests, and I'll tell you what those tests are. They should say here that it's manufactured in the U.S. from foreign and domestic ingredients. That's our company. We actually source from here in the States as well as outside the country, using good manufacturing practices in a GMP certified an FDA registered facility. That's what needs to be on every one of the products that you consume. This way, you know that they've gone through a rigorous amount of testing. So in other words, what has to happen when a herb comes in from, let's say, India, and we get our herbs from a consortium of Ayurvedic farmers that have been approved by what's called Ayush, which is the Ministry of Health in India. So they are herbs that are guaranteed to be as organic and as pure as possible, and we still have to get them tested. And we rarely ever have to send them back or throw them away. That's a rare kind of thing. But our requirements require us to actually make sure that we test them. So when we get the raw material, we have to test them. And we test them for identity to make sure that the ashwagandha is the ashwagandha, right? That's really important. And this is why when you get an herbal formula that has a lot of different things in it, it's really hard for any lab to test for identity because everything's now mixed up and combined. So it's very difficult, which is why another reason I don't like extracts for many reasons, and that's one of them, particularly if they're coming from outside the country. We'll get into extracts versus whole herbs in a little while. If you're interested in this, stay with me. If you're watching this on my newsletter or on my website at lifespa.com, please subscribe to our newsletter. Get that information on a regular basis. If you're while you're there, check out our Ayurvedic store with all of our all organic ingredients that are GMP certified. And if you're watching on YouTube or any other platform, please like and follow us to get this information on a regular basis. Okay. So the herbs come to us from, let's say, India, and we have to test them for identity and microbacteria, so microbes. We have to test them for. And we also do something called an organoleptic test, which is under the microscope. They look at it. They test the smell, the taste, the color, the texture. All these things are evaluated just by looking at them under a microscope. So there's a lot of that. That's the first thing that happens when the herbs come in. This doesn't happen anywhere else, really, probably in the world. Definitely not in India and places like that. Then the herbs go into quarantine. When we get them, they go into quarantine. They go to the lab, and when the lab tests come back safe, then we can take the next steps. And the next steps is we give them a batch number, we weigh them out, everything. Then we mix the formula together. And then we do another organoleptic test under the microscope to see what it looks like, make sure nothing really went wrong with them. And then we encapsulate them, we bottle, label them, and then they go through another test of identity and another test of bugs and microbes, which is tricky. So I remember one time, I have our formula here somewhere called turmeric. We took our turmeric plus formula. And that is a formulation where you take 16 parts turmeric, one part black pepper. That's the formula. And that has been shown to increase the absorption of the turmeric by 2,000%. As we dive into this podcast, I'm going to talk about nutrient synergy and why it's so important to combine herbs in a particular and a specific way. And in Ayurveda, they've got thousands of years of time-tested practice and clinical effectiveness to kind of troubleshoot the proper formulations and what herbs go better with other herbs. And this is called nutrient synergy. It's something that's cutting edge in Western medicine now, but it's been used for thousands and thousands of years in India in Ayurveda. So I want to dive into that piece of it as well. But one time we took the turmeric, we got it in from the lab, everything was encapsulated. It got sent out to the lab. And when it came back, the microbes had exploded. When we actually got the raw material, the bugs were great, everything was fine. But when we actually put the formula together, the turmeric, raw whole turmeric, and the black pepper, when you put it together, they got married and they had babies, a lot of babies. But my manufacturer called me up and said, "Hey, John, these are like probiotics. See, this is like exploding." And he said, "They're all really good bacteria." And I said, "That's the cool thing about Ayurveda, is there's this nutrient synergy. So when you combine them in just the right way, you get this explosion of all the nutritional value, which you don't get when you do like an extract, which is just sterile, right? When you extract an herb, boil it in water or soak it in alcohol, which most extracts are done, that's how it's done, you sterilize that. So you have something that is completely sterile product, which isn't good because there's a lot of intelligence that helps support synergistically the intelligence and the benefit of the plant when you put the herb and the plant together. Just like I put the bugs inside of you and they make you something different. If I took all the bugs out of you, you'd be a completely different person, right? So it's really important that we understand that there's no place in our human body that is sterile. We're not sterile. We are a combination of bugs. This body, in a sense, exists because the bugs needed a place to live and needed something to carry them around to actually support species survival, where all every species has a way to support their survival. The bugs, over millions and millions of years, figured out a way to make us. It's one theory, and an interesting one at that. So when you put these herbs together, you have something that is really different. And we just test things on the biochemical level. We say, oh, let's take turmeric, for example. And since we think the number one most potent constituent in turmeric is curcumin, it's the part that makes it yellow or orange, that's got to be the number one constituent. And it's a real potent constituent. So why don't we just take that one constituent of the 300 constituents in turmeric, and let's just use that one, right? And it works. The only problem is it's sterile. The only problem is that whenever you sterilize something and you take away its natural microbiome, you've made it into something like a drug. Now, that doesn't mean it's bad, but it does mean it has consequences, right? So a drug is going to give you a very serious and effective benefit, but it also may do things that you don't really want it to do. Sometimes those things don't really matter, and sometimes with certain drugs, they can be really bad and they have to take the drug off the market. But whenever you take an extract and you concentrate one out of the 300 constituents in turmeric and you give only that, you're going to end up with something that's going to have consequences. So the studies show, and I've written numerous articles on the consequences of just turmeric. We know that if you take the turmeric, 16 parts turmeric, one part black pepper, the whole plant, it increases the absorption of that thing by 2,000%. This was done back in the year 2000 at St. John's Hospital in Bangalore. And after that, everybody was started putting black pepper or bioprenes into their formulas to boost absorption. This is called bioenhancement. In other words, we're trying to get something to help herbs help the herbs absorb better. And a lot of herbs are hard to absorb. Turmeric is a harder to absorb herb. But when you take the curcumin out of it, it is devoid of any fatty acids. The turmeric, the whole plant, if you ever saw it, it clumps together, it kind of sticks together. Those are the fatty acids. It's got almost 8% of it is fatty acids. And those fatty acids are actually used to slow the breakdown of the turmeric constituents from a fat-soluble something, plant constituent, to a water-soluble. And when it gets converted to something water-soluble, it gets dissipated out of the body very, very quickly, right? That may be a little complicated, but the idea is that fats help slow the absorption down. You put bulletproof coffee, you put ghee in your coffee, blend it up, it slows down the delivery of the caffeine so it's not a spike and then it dumps you. It's a slow, steady drip, right? That's what fats do. Ghee was classically used as a bioenhancer. Black pepper is used as a bioenhancer. So when you take the one extract of curcumin, it doesn't have any fatty acids anymore. So it actually breaks down very, very quickly. So the researcher said, what if we take that curcumin and we give it at super high dosages and we add bioprene to it? Well, the bioprene helps it absorb faster, no doubt. But the super high dosages, then you have the consequences, you know, the side effects that you see on the drug commercials on TV, the list of those things while you're looking at this beautiful lake, having a picnic, and everybody's having a wonderful time. And then they're listing all the things that could go wrong, right? Well, that's exactly what happens when you take too much curcumin. Studies show that a very low dose of curcumin, it actually increases your stem cells, particularly in your brain and also in your bone. But if you take a little bit more or too much, and how much is good, how much is bad, it actually can be toxic and it can block stem cell activation. So here we have, you know, something that has been extracted and concentrated that has a very dose-specific effect. And if you don't know the dose-specific effect, you could either take too much or too little or not know. And actually, it could, in fact, according to the studies that I've written about, it could actually be toxic, which is kind of really interesting, which is why the whole plant with all 300 constituents are so critically important, because they provide you know, it took millions of years for that plant to evolve and become turmeric and become a root. And that root has a specific affinity for a very specific set of microbes that attach to that root. And that the bugs on that root and the bugs and the chemistry of that root, they're synergistic. It's called nutrient synergy. And so there are other constituents in turmeric, like turmerone and turmerine, that have been shown to boost stem cell activity. They did a study where they took the curcumin out of the turmeric, and they measured curcumin alone against the 299 other constituents that were left over. And they said, okay, what's going to work better? The curcumin everybody's raving about? And don't get me wrong, curcumin at the right dose has been shown to be effective for many conditions, for supporting breast health and colon health and even diseases in that regard. So it's important to know that there are medicinal values and good studies behind them. But again, how much is good, how much is bad, and how long should you take those concentrated, sterile ingredients is the question. So they actually did a study with how long they take it, and they found that when they took the curcumin for a very, very long period of time, it stopped having an effectiveness, which means the body built a tolerance to it because it isn't natural. It's one of 300 constituents in the root. It's completely sterile. The brain and the body's going, I don't know what this stuff is. It worked for a while, but I'm not so sure. So the body builds up a tolerance to that, right? So when they took the 299 constituents and they compared it to the curcumin alone, right? The 299 constituents of the turmeric with no curcumin, didn't have the yellow color, and they compared it to curcumin alone, they found that the whole 299 constituents had more benefit in terms of blood sugar, inflammation, response to lifestyle, diet, exercise, and healthy cell replication, which is really, really important. And they also found that the longer you took the curcumin, the less benefit it worked. The longer you take the whole herb, which is what they did for thousands of years in India, because this was the food that they ate. It was a very important food in Indian cooking and so on. So that's another piece of the puzzle, is that you can take the whole plant, the whole herbs, you know, the whole herbs forever, because they're not sterile. They're not foreign to the human body, which is why I love our formulas, you know, so much, because we have herbs like leaky gut support, where we take an herb called triphala, which got three fruits in it, and we add another fruit called bilva, which actually scrubs the intestinal villi. Then we add a little bit of slippery elm and licorice to make it very slimy. And then we add a little bit of psyllium, an old Ayurvedic technique to activate the herbs that need water to become slimy, like the slippery elm and licorice. And you take that and it activates a lubricating effect in the intestinal tract, while the triphala is cleaning the villi and the bilwa is gently healing and repairing and scrubbing the mucus off your villi, and it supports the tight junctions and heals and repairs your intestinal tract. This is called nutrient synergy, giving you herbs that have been formulated together forever and ever and ever in really specific ways. You know what I mean? That's the beauty of it. Another herb that is really great is an herb called bacopa. You've heard of bacopa. It's a brain-derived neurotropic factor. It boosts brain cells. It's been shown to mask the effects of Prozac in one study. But a lot of the people that sell bacopa, they give you the extract, which is a sterile product, which means it's going to overrule your body's intelligence. And what I always think about Ayurveda is Ayurveda should be that medicine that helps your body do the job so you can get on, get better, get off, and not be dependent on a pill or a powder. But when you take an extract of something, it's going to be sterile. It's going to have some consequences, which you're not sure of. It'll have interactions with other herbs and things you have that you don't know of, because you're taking one of 100 or 200 or 300 different constituents. So the body doesn't recognize this as a food. But when you take this herb as a food, then the body recognizes, because it's the whole plant. All we did was pick it out of the ground. And this is a root. We cleaned it, dried it, ground it, And then we went through all that testing that I talked about, and now we have the whole plant with all of its natural microbiome. And the other thought that I really love about taking herbs is try to do them in somewhat of a seasonal way. In other words, in nature, in the springtime, there's a massive microbial surge. When the ground warms up and it gets sort of wet and moist, the bugs kind of come alive. And then the roots start to come alive. And this is big marriage and synergy underneath the earth that's taking place. And then when you pick out your spinach or you pick out your early spring greens or your burdock root or your turmeric root, spring harvested, you're going to get a load of these brand new bugs for that season, right? So that's the beauty of it. So it's kind of a neat idea to take herbs that have the synergy and the seasonal microbiome or microbiology. So nature's trying to inoculate your gut with a different set of bugs for every single season, right? There's what are called actinobacteria that proliferate in a major way in the guts of the hunter-gatherers in the spring. In the springtime, just like the springtime here, there's no pasta being harvested, there's no pizza being harvested. It's 100% austere. There's root vegetables, turmeric, burdock, Oregon grape, dandelions. The deer are digging up the roots on your lawn because they're digging up those roots, right? Those are very austere. There's some spring greens, but generally speaking, it's a higher fiber, higher fat, higher protein to some extent, because you're probably going to have to hunt if you're a hunter-gatherer because there's nothing coming out of the ground to survive. But there is no carbohydrates. It is an extremely low carbohydrate time of the year. That changes your microbiome to be more actinobacteria to deliver fuel from your fat and your fiber. Now, at the end of the summer, when all the fruits are being harvested and the grains are being harvested, you also make more amylase, which is this enzyme that actually helps you digest the starch. So that amylase enzyme is naturally more abundant in you and me in the fall when all these foods of starch are being harvested. We are still, after all of our ignoring Mother Nature's circadian rhythms and seasonal changes, we are still circadian beings. And we still produce more amylase to digest the starch. The bugs change to bacteroidetes, which are really good at getting sugar out of your gut into your blood and giving you the energy, that extra energy that could give you reserve fuel, extra fat as insulation to make it through the winter. We, as a culture, have decided to do sugar and carbs 24/7, 365 days of the year, and we have way more bacteria deets, and we're getting super good bugs at delivering sugar out of your gut into your blood, and now we have an epidemic of prediabetes. If we ate in a seasonal way, we would get like the super neat way of changing the microbiome. And I wrote a whole book called The Three Season Diet way back in 2000. We actually put grocery lists and recipe lists and superfood lists on my website for free. It's called The Three Season Diet Eating Guide. You get it every month. It's seasonal. It tells you what to eat in this season, what herbs are good in this season, what foods are good in this season. We give you a grocery list. So you get the right foods with the right bugs at the right time of the year to kind of boost your immunity in the winter and help you dissipate heat in the summer when it's hot, and even decongest you from the allergies in the spring. Nature had a plan, right? It's a beautiful plan. So taking herbs in a seasonal way is just another like really cool way to inoculate your gut with the right bugs for the right season. And studies show, it was a Stanford study, and they measured the bugs of poop from ancient humans about 1,000 years ago that was stuck in a museum in New Mexico. And they figured out a way to measure the microbiome from that poo from this museum. And they compared it to modern humans. And they found that the bugs we have, modern humans, have such a lack of microbial diversity, not enough diverse different kinds of bugs in our gut, that they're actually calling that an extinction event, right? So, and it's so hard to get different bugs in your gut because, you know, even your organic spinach, which comes off a conveyor belt grown in the same farm in the same place, even though it's organic, comes in a plastic tub with a plastic lid on it that you pull off, and you're eating industrial food that doesn't have a diverse number of microbes in your gut. You know, studies show that in the last 30 years, the microbial diversity in the foods that we eat have lacked such diversity. They lost their diversity by 50%. So in other words, the foods that were eaten like ethnically around the world, where people would have different ethnic foods over in this part of the world and different foods in this part of the world, that food has that kind of diversity of our diet around the world has decreased by 50%. In the last 30 years, suggesting we're all eating the same industrial, unfortunately, in many two cases, highly processed food. I'm not even gonna talk about processed food because this is a whole other topic. Just don't do it. Eat food you can recognize. When you look at the food, you know the ingredients. When you look at the herb that says bacopa on it, it is bacopa, the plant. There's no processing involved, just drying and put in a capsule. We combine it with an herb called shangpushpi and a little bit of shilajit to act as a driver. And what's neat about, again, this is nutrient synergy, combining herbs in a traditional way to give you the real benefit of those herbs. Bacopa is a natural precursor to GABA, to acetylcholine, as well as to serotonin. And these are things that boost mood in the wintertime. Now, what's interesting is the sun, during the summertime, you get all those neurotransmitters from the sun. But in the winter, when the sun goes down and lower in the sky, we don't have those benefits. So nature had a plan. It grew certain roots like ashwagandha, certain roots like bacopa, that you would harvest in the fall that actually naturally are their natural precursors or stimulators to activate GABA and serotonin and other neurotransmitters to give you mood stability during those darker months, right? So nature had a plan. And Ayurveda figured out that plan. Very few other systems about Chinese medicine has lots of intelligence regarding the plan. But when you look at the study of nature, Ayurveda, in my mind, and Chinese medicine too, no doubt, but other than that, there's not that much out there that has thousands of years of time-tested herbal formulations and just the fact that these herbs are still being used today suggests that, you know, why would you use it if it didn't work, right? I mean, are we going to have antibiotics in the next 200 years? Is it going to make it to be 200 years? Probably not, because of the super bugs that we're creating as a result of it, right? So there you have it, some really interesting things about why we should be thinking about, number one, whole herbs. Whole herbs are not sterile. This herb is loaded with bugs. And over 1,000 times more bugs than a sterile extract. Some herbs are water processed, they have a few little bugs in them, but still they're still somewhat sterile. There is an intelligence that is on the plant, and that comes from what are called bacterial endophytes. So on the leaves and the roots of the plants, there are bugs. They're called bacterial endophytes. And those endophytes, those bugs, are responsible for the growth rate, the immunity, the stamina, longevity, and even biochemical potency of the plant. And so now we know that the bug and the plant have a synergy, and they support the potency and the benefit of that plant. When we eat that plant that may have struggled to survive, and many of these plants do, that's called xenohormesis. Xenohormesis is when we take the plant that has struggled and we consume it and we get the benefits of that struggle. Most commonly, those are the antioxidants. So that's how it works. You have the whole plant with its chemistry and its microbiome, that's called the holobiont, which is the whole biont, the microbiome and the whole plant together. That's what that's called. And then when you consume that, you actually are getting something called xenohormesis, which means you're getting the benefit of the struggle of the plant that gave antioxidants and helped the plant survive. That, and when it starts helping us survive, that's called xenohormesis, which is just a really beautiful thing. So the science is in. However, America is still pretty locked into 100 times more potency, right? I want 100 times more potency in my thing. It's got to be better if it's bigger, stronger, and better. And that's the idea that we have. bigger is better. Now, I'm not against all herbal extracts. In fact, I use them. We have an herbal formula called Boswellia. Boswellia is a resin from a tree. It only comes as an extract because it's a hard resin, so it has to be extracted. And so we use that as an extract. But we combine it with things like ginger and black pepper to actually help make that extract become a lot further. And this is an herb that's been shown to be a powerful support agent for the joints. It helps to support and repair and support the function of your intestinal tract. So it's got a lot of real incredible benefit. So there you have it in terms of the herbs. I highly recommend that you, when you buy your herbs, think about, make sure they've got the GMP certification, make sure they are whole herbs. If you need an extract to get better, the extracts I like to think of, they're going to do the job for you in a natural way. The medication, the drug, will do the job for you in an unnatural way. It's just going to get it done with side effects. And then Ayurvedic herbs are going to help really us do the job for ourselves so we can get on it, get better, and get off. So when I see my patients, I'll give them herbs to help bring their body back into balance, fix that particular symptom. But then there's ways to say, well, I want to continue taking Bacopa in the winter. I want to continue taking neem or mangista in the summer, or the herbs that will actually make sense, that have the right bugs for the right season, and they give you that benefit of cooling yourself down during the summer months. Remember, in nature, the harvest is always the antidote for the extreme of that season. So in the winter, when it's cold and dry, squirrels eat nuts. We harvest roots like ashwagandha and Bacopa. In the spring, when it's rainy and muddy, congested, we harvest herbs like turmeric and mangista and ginger, which kind of clean up and liquefy all that mucus, right? In the summertime, when it's very hot, we need foods that cool us down. Well, that's what fruits and vegetables are, and naturally occurring antidotes to the extreme of that season, with the right bugs for the right gut for the right season. And herbs like neem and mangista and shatavari are powerful. Brahmi, a great herb for the summer months to cool you down. Also phenomenal herbs that have that cooling effect, but they also carry the right bugs into your gut for the right season. So that's the herbal idea. Here's another one of my favorite ones, which is something called the Slippery Elm Prebiotic. It combines slippery elm, licorice, and marshmallow root, three simple soluble fiber agents. When you boil this down and make a thick viscous tea, those three soluble fibers will actually coat, heal, and seal your intestinal lining, protect those tight junctions. But also, that soluble fiber does two things. It attaches to your bile and takes the bile to the toilet, right? Your bile is like a Pac-Man gobbling up toxins in your liver. Your bile is gobbling up toxins in your villi of your intestinal tract. So when you eat some fiber, the fiber attaches to that bile and takes the bile with all the toxins in tow to the toilet. But if you don't have enough fiber, and the average American gets about 15 to 20 grams of fiber per day, the average hunter-gatherer got over 100 to 150 grams of fiber per day. So we didn't even come close to the amount of fiber that our ancestors ate, and that meant that they were taking all the bile that had gobbled up all the toxins, and then the fiber comes along, takes it to the toilet, and it forced your body to make brand new bile today. That's how it works. But when you don't have enough fiber in your diet, you don't make brand new bile. You reuse that bile, gets reabsorbed up to 17 times, according to the science, and then it finally gets discarded. It's like washing your dishes in the same dirty dishwater for 17 days in a row. That's why fiber is so critically important. And I also said I would talk about skincare products. And, you know, I tell you, I am big into skincare. My family's big into skincare. We've had a skincare line, an Ayurveda skincare line, since 1998. And I wanted to design something that I like to call medicines for the skin, although we really can't call it medicines because that would be a disease claim. And the other thing about my website, when you look at my website, I talk about different conditions and different imbalances, the FDA also requires me not to talk about diseases. You'll never see on my website me saying that this herb cured this disease, because it's against the FDA rules. And we follow all the rules to the letter. We're extremely FDA compliant. A lot of companies don't care. Obviously, the web is huge, and how can they really keep up? They'll never catch me. So they'll say, oh, this herb cured my XYZ, and this herb cured my XYZ. Or I have a testimony from someone that they make up, and they'll put it on the site, and then I took that herb, and I got rid of my ulcerative colitis. Well, you know, that is illegal, number one, because you're making a medicinal claim, and they're practicing medicine without a license, and there's all kinds of rules against that. So I want you to just know that at LifeSpa, we're all about giving the education away for free. We take the ancient wisdom, I cite the modern science, I give you all that information, and we do everything we possibly can to be as FDA compliant as we possibly can without making those claims. So you're not gonna see a lot of major claims and promises and all that, which is why a lot of people buy stuff, because they get emotionally attached to those promises. But you kind of have to read between the lines. I'm very careful about that, so that's why we're not big and flashy and make a lot of claims and make a lot of promises and so on. We're a small company, but we adhere to all the FDA compliances that are required by us, absolutely the very best we can. So when it comes to skincare, I look at skincare products all the time. We look at the labels on different ones, and even the cleanest ones, and you, I'm sure, would agree, you look at the label and you read the ingredients and you don't recognize half the ingredients on there. You just go, I don't know what that stuff is. So I'm gonna give you, this is our body butter. This is our first product that we developed back in 1998. I had an Ayurvedic spa back then, and we had all of our Ayurvedic facial treatments and Ayurvedic skincare treatments using Ayurvedic herbals. And we would grind the sandalwood on a rock and make these incredible facials. And then my patients loved it so much they wanted to take some of the stuff home. So I went and talked to a friend of mine who was a really great kind of skincare pharmacist, Ben Fuchs, and I said, look, I've got all these really cool Ayurvedic herbs that I've been using forever and ever to you know, for my skincare line or in my spa. Can we put them together with some kind of Western knowledge and make a really super clean, no preservatives, no additive, no nothing, skincare line? And he said, yeah. So what we did is we took this, this is the first product, we took squalene and avocado butter and some other butters like kokum butter and other butters, and we actually took the herbs like mangista, neem, shatavari, other herbs that are really nourishing for the skin, and we soaked it in the squalene. And then we ended up with this product. And this is some of the ingredients that it has: shea butter, squalene, avocado fruit butter, kokum seed butter, coley basil leaf extract, sea buckthorn fruit oil, brahmi leaf, organic turmeric, mangista, neem, shatavari, aloe vera, triglycerides, which is just three fats, sea fennel extract, sesame seed oil, amla fruit extract, curcumin, rosehip, seed oil, balsam Peru oil, which is what makes it smell like vanilla. It smells so beautiful. Lang Lang flower oil, tonka bean extract, which also gives it that vanilla scent. That's the ingredients. There's nothing in it, no chemicals in here that you don't recognize. That's what makes this so special. I have never seen a skincare product like it. We call it consciously clean because we consciously made it as clean as you possibly can. I have yet to see a skincare line on the market. And when you look at the EWG who measures, they're all really super clean on the EWG. Go to my website. We've got the reports from the EWG on our website. You can look at that. So it's a really beautiful, clean skincare line. And one of the reasons why it is that is because there's no water in this. There was no water. Water makes up usually 65 to 75% of the products that you consume. Water does. And whenever you put water in something, you're going to have to preserve it because water grows bugs. There's no water in this, so it doesn't need a preservative. And we've been using this since 1998. We know it's stable. So this is what makes this whole thing so beautiful, is that it is a super clean product with no water. When we take our moisturizer, our Ayurvedic moisturizer, we took something which is the olive squalene, and squalene is made in three places on the planet: in your skin, in sharks, and in olives. So we took olive squalene, then we soaked the Ayurvedic herbs, the organic Ayurvedic herbs, into the squalene, and we let it sit there for 2 weeks, and then we strain it, and now we have impregnated into your body's natural moisturizing factor, these really medicinal healing herbs. And the squalane acts as a carrier to take that concentrated material into your body, into your deep layers of your skin. There's no fillers in this. This is 100% concentrated material. Normally, this bottle would be this big with most other companies because they don't want to sell you 100% concentrated material because it doesn't look like anything. So what we do is we take that and you put just 2 drops in your hand, maybe 3 if you like, and then you add the water to your hand and then you apply it. We have that. We have our wrinkle serum, which is a much more concentrated product with more concentrated herbs to do sort of repair and support the repair of the skin. We have a facial cleanser toner, which is really amazing. It's got herbs like chickpea flour that actually exfoliate. It's got turmeric, neem, shatavari, triphala, helps tonify the skin and kind of pull the impurities out of the skin. We have a mask that has those same herbs with honey that actually carries the herbs into your deep tissue. It has clay that pulls the impurities out, but we also impregnated into those constituents, into those ingredients, Ayurvedic herbs like turmeric and triphala, which is 3 fruits, Hartaki, Bibitaki, Amalaki, to kind of tonify, heal, detoxify, and cleanse your skin. So it's a kind of a really cool line. I invite you to check it out. We have, you know, patients or customers that have been using these for ever and ever and ever, and they absolutely love it because it is so clean. And so there you have it. You know, when you put something on your face, you should know that it's going to go into your bloodstream. They did a study with some Ayurvedic massage oils, and we also have Ayurvedic massage oils like this, and they're combined with herbs. Ayurveda doesn't sell plain sesame oil to rub on your skin. Why? Because the sesame oil is a very large molecule, as are all the vegetable oils. And they will sit on the surface of your skin, and they don't penetrate the phospholipid layer of your skin. So they sit there, and they have a lipophilic effect. They're going to pull out things out of your skin. So they're going to help sort of detoxify your skin. But what they can do is they can dry your skin out along the way. I worked at an Ayurvedic clinic for 26 years. Where all the massage therapists were massaging with sesame oil and different kinds of oils, and their skin would get very, very dry. You would think they'd be walking around lubricated. It didn't. It was the opposite. So what Ayurveda did to solve that problem is they actually soaked herbs into that oil, same way we did with our products. This is an Ayurvedic concept. And then the oil that goes to the super surface layer of the phospholipid layer of your skin. Phospholipid layer means your skin's waterproof. When you go into the water, you don't, you know, blow it up like a balloon. Your skin is water repellent, and that's why your skin has fats in it. That's what keeps the water away. So this will actually take the herbs in the oil up to the phospholipid layer, and then the herbs get carried through the skin. So this is another way to do it. But again, I would always recommend doing this in the shower, where you put a tiny bit on your hand, rub it on after you've soaked up, and then just put it all over your body. Very, very thin layer. A very thin layer goes a very, very long way. So one study showed, they took an Ayurvedic massage oil like this, and they added a drug called methadone. And methadone is a drug that they use to get people off of heroin. It's like another type of opioid. And they gave one group the methadone in their mouth, and the other group, they put it on their head and massage it into their head. And they kind of saw how quickly did the methadone get into the bloodstream through two vehicles, one through the skin on the head with a massage or in the mouth. And they found that the putting it on the head, that opioid got into the brain chemistry just as quickly as swallowing the pill did, right? So whatever you put on your head, whatever you put on your skin is so critically important. That's why you really want it to be consciously clean. And like I said, when you read these ingredients, it's just hard not to recognize them. We have on here on our moisturizer, we have Vitamin E, we have holy basil, we have an herb called bala, which is for strength. We have Brahmi, and we have the botanical names because that's the law, which is Centella Asiatica, Curcumin Longa, which is turmeric, Phyllanthus, which is amalaki, and it just goes on and on through the herbs. And it has the sea fennel as well, which is a real active ingredient in those products as well. So anyway, there you have it. I just wanted you all to know a couple of things about the purity of the herbs and supplements you take. Please don't take things that are not GMP certified. When it comes to skincare, those regulations do not exist. Companies are not allowed to say they can cure your wrinkles or cure that. That actually is against FDA. We're making claims. You're not allowed to make that. The only thing you're allowed to say in the FDA, from the FDA perspective of skincare, is it can support the natural beauty of the skin. It can really, we shouldn't say anything. So you won't see us make claims about our skincare. That happens via word of mouth. So be aware of people trying to sell you stuff. Read the ingredients. If you don't recognize the ingredients when you read it, don't eat it. If you don't recognize the ingredients on the food you're eating, don't eat it, don't buy it. I'm a big fan of recognizable food, a recognizable diet, recognizable herbs, so you know they're botanical, organic, and go from there. And one thing about this or our herbs, it doesn't have the organic seal on it, but the herbs are 100% organic. And for it to have the organic seal, it has to have an organic capsule. We use vegan capsules. They're about as clean as you can get, but they're not certified organic. And that's why we don't have the FDA seal on our products. But if you read the back label, it's organic bacopa and organic shungpushpi, and everything is organic, the very best that we can source it. Otherwise, we'll use very rarely, we'll use a wild harvested type of a herb if we can't get it that way. But we have really locked in our suppliers and the organic nature of them. So we very rarely really have to go to wildcrafting any longer. Okay, guys, well, I hope this helped you all out, understanding what to look for, what not to look for. Be careful about the stuff you consume because it really does make a difference. All right, thanks for listening. I'm Dr. John Duyard.
This recording is brought to you by LifeSpa, where ancient Ayurvedic wisdom meets modern science. Get access to free health video newsletters by Dr. John at lifespa.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.